This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best heated clothing, powered by a rechargeable battery. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. It's perfect for anyone on your holiday gift list. You can save 20% off your order when you go to actionheat.com/TMS. That's actionheat.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, and then there was one.
Hot dog follow-up.
Here, have some of the money.
Jimmy Dean wants everything to smell bad.
Chickenpox is back in a big way.
Taco Bell wants you warm.
Tom's Tech Time and Recommendals on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Tonight, right after Animal House, Eric Estrada and Howard Hessman meet the Dream Girls.
Hi.
Of every man's fantasy.
I'll just knock you dead.
Morgan Fairchild, Linda Carter, Kathy Lee Crosby, Victoria Principal, and much, much more.
Beautiful.
They're the sexiest super ladies on the scene. They're the women who rate a 10 later tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a flying saucer.
This is the Morning Stream. Hold on to your butts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Stream. It's TMS for November 21st, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. That's no flying saucer. That's a pie plate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, if that movie were redone today, he would have said, because he said, it's a pie plate. I took a photo of my children throwing it in the backyard to make it look like a flying saucer, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This day and age. I took a picture, photoshopped it, added some After Effects to create movement.
No, you're totally right. Like today's would be, we were talking on the show on FilmSec, if they made or remade Close Encounters of the Third Kind, in a modern day context, it's a very different kind of movie because this kind of stuff, we live in a time where everyone's got cameras all the time. They're not crappy little wind up, the light exposed it kind of cameras. We don't have to wait for development or any of that.
Somebody would want to put up a big wall around Devil's Tower to keep out that giant caravan of aliens.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. That's why I've kind of come around to maybe they shouldn't remake it, or if they do make it, put it in a similar time period or something.
They can't. You know? They really can't remake it. It would just be a different movie, and I feel like it would be. We've got that with Arrival. You know, I mean, that's kind of.
Yeah, Arrival's like a spiritual successor, isn't it? A little bit.
Yeah. It's the reboot that we didn't think we needed, but that we love.
Yeah. That movie's great. Freaking leave that man. You know, he's making Dune right now. I'm so nervous and so excited to see what Villeneuve's Dune looks like.
And there's the reboot that we didn't want.
That's the reboot I absolutely want. Because
that's true.
The first one is shit.
Yeah,
first
Frank
one is so bad. Vision. Give me a coin. Hold on a second. Here twice because I'm going to say it again. That first movie is shit. It's garbage.
It's hot garbage.
Yeah. So we get a chance to do it right. You know? Maybe he'll do it right. I have
hype. Hey, you know, it's got that Rose McGowan. Who's the
We already know casting.
Actress?
I didn't know we had casting already.
No. I'm talking about the original Dune movie.
The
redhead who basically appears in 2/3 of the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, she had that one really good stint on Walking Dead for a whole episode.
She did, and she was on the Cybill Shepherd show for a while.
Remember her name.
Yeah.
Kathy Von Filibuster.
Finkelstein.
That's it.
Filibuster.
She kept her maiden name, Filibuster.
She
married Leon Finkelstein, but kept her name. Just, you know.
This is a great... Alicia Witt. Thank you, Igor.
Alicia Witt.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Finkelsteins or the Filibusters. So check this out.
What's his face's mom on Friday Night Lights?
Oh, wait. No. Right?
Yeah, she was. She was.
Who's mom?
Who's the bad boy?
Oh, no way. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that was her. Yeah, she was always drunk and hookery and stuff.
Yep, exactly. She's on Justified for a season.
Yep, she was a sister.
She's done everything.
Yeah, that Justified season, she was great. She was the sister of the main bad dude, who also I like a lot, the actor. I can't think of his name now. But she was the sister who came from this family of total, awful, country redneck, mean, jerk brothers. She's the only sister... And she comes out of that. She goes to college, gets a degree, becomes a lawyer, right. and yep. then comes back and becomes basically the front end lawyer for their horrible enterprise. It's a very fascinating right. character, actually.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So, you know, grew up in this crap and then still is defending the crap that raised her.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, I miss Justified every day it's not on. I really do. Such a great show. All right. So check this out.
Yes.
There only is one left, and that is Nick Johnson, my son, is the only one in this house who has not succumbed to the plague. I'm feeling much, much better. Still got a little
cough.
You're
sounding great.
Oh, yeah. My voice is finally kind of, you know, it's not cracking as much and all jacked up. So that's good. I feel more energy generally. Still got a little bit of a cough. Mm-hmm. But Kim, I hate to tell everybody this, she fought it like crazy, too. I mean, like, mm-hmm. she'd get up the other day and go, I think I'm getting a sore throat. What are you going to do? I'm going to go clean the entire house. Like, she just was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm putting it out of my mind. I'm going to go do other things. I'm going to, like, completely yeah. focus on other parts of life and not let this thing win. And I really thought she was going to do it. She woke up this morning just... It's taken hold. It's got its claws in her. Yeah. So
it's hooks in her.
So now we got me, Carter, now Kim. Only one left is Nick. How he doesn't have this, I don't know. He's been working overtime at his job. He's eating like an idiot because he gets McDonald's too much and stuff like that. Now that he's got a little spending money, you know, he likes to.
Yep, totally. So he's basically he's using preservatives as a method of staying healthy.
Yeah, you know, preserving
like,
himself.
There might be something to that.
Yeah, he's got a good shelf life, it turns out. You can keep Nick under a lamp for a long time now.
he's Spurlocking this.
Exactly. So he seems to be fine, but I just have to think that he's going to end up with this too, because it's bad, man. And all my neighbors have it. Everybody has it. It's just spreading like a booger in the wind. So anyway,
it doesn't last as long for Kim and Carter as it did for you, because that seemed to go on forever for you.
Yeah, Carter and I are about the same. We got it about the same, maybe a day apart. Oh, and okay. So she's a day behind me and still feeling pretty lousy. So tomorrow she may feel a lot better if my pattern holds. But yeah, this is like a 9-10 day kind of just awful bleh.
It's bad business, man. Bad business.
Bad business. Bad babysitting is what I like to say. All right. Hey, we're going to do a little follow up here from a listener.
Yeah, this is good because I like this.
Ryan from Michigan wrote in. Rhymes with Brian, mm-hmm. so you probably like him already. Yeah,
I like him already. What's not to like?
You like all the Ryans for that reason, right?
Ryans, whether it's, but it's interesting how the preferred way to spell Brian is B-R-I-A-N, but mm-hmm. the preferred way to spell Ryan is R-Y-A-N.
Yeah, you see examples of them flipped, but very rarely.
Right, like Ryan Johnson is an R-I-A-N.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, who's another? You
know, lots of Brian, like Brian Brown, I think. Mm-hmm. The actor Brian Brown is with a Y from FX.
Yeah, I've got a buddy named Brian who's not mm-hmm. any of the Brians I know on the air that spells with a Y.
Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to get there. But we got this one from Ryan in Michigan, spells it with a Y and says this. Dear Burrito and Sausage, since the Earth is a sphere, you know, circle, spherical. I like saying spherical.
Sphere. It's a sphere.
It's a sphere. Oh, I love that word. It's a great word.
Yeah.
Anyway, it took the roll. Sorry. If he's talking about the hot dog roller thing that we discussed, you know, the whole distance thing. He says if you took the rollers and placed them on the ground, they would actually technically be rolling the Earth. Therefore, girth doesn't matter. Love the show irregardless. Ryan from Michigan.
Good. So he's basically backing up what we said, that measuring the girth of the hot dogs really doesn't matter the length of their travel. It would matter, like, how fast they would travel.
Right.
Because it would take one with a larger girth longer for it to complete one full revolution. But yeah.
He's right. And he's right that if you put the rollers down, it is the Earth rolling underneath it. I mean, that's true of no matter how, you know, if you want to look at me taking a nice long walk, mm-hmm. technically I'm stationary and the world's moving under me. I mean, if you really want to look at it in that regard, everything's sort of relative. I mean, it kind of is.
Maybe we're going a little.
Think about it, though.
I mean, if you're traveling, if you are traveling against the Earth's rotation,
yeah,
and you're traveling at the same speed that the Earth rotates, which is several hundred miles an hour, I think.
Yeah, but look at it this way. Because the Earth is not tethered to any other body, anywhere you walk on the planet, you could argue that the ground's moving under you. You're the central point, and the ground's moving under you. Now, relative to everybody else, obviously that's not true. But if you really want to get philosophical about it, kind of works. Because
it does, it only does if you're working, if you're walking again, only if you're walking against the Earth's rotation, the opposite direction of the Earth's rotation at about 1,000 miles an hour.
I'm just going to assume that I am the center of the universe and everything moves around me. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, that's a whole, that's a whole different kettle of fish, Johnson.
Yeah, let's shoot those fish in a barrel. Let's mix all our metaphors. All right. So here's the only other thing I'd say to this writer, Ryan, you kind of have a good point, but at the end you said, love the show irregardless. That's not a word.
Yeah.
Take that out of your vocabulary. It's not a word.
Right, right. Regardless, it's, yes.
Yeah. Regardless, you're good. But irregardless, not a word. It's no longer
until Webster's decides to kowtow just like they did with supposedly and add it to the
they could
add it to the dictionary. They're just like you to say, ah, oh, well, oh, we've had this. We've had this conversation. Ad infinitum.
Yeah, but the supposedly thing does make me worry about humanity and our ability to live. Doesn't it a little bit? Like the fact that we said, okay, let it in. It's like, oh,
right, exactly.
Slippery slope, right. Fellas. Like, leave this stuff to the Urban Dictionary. That's their job.
Let J.K. Grammer says that they added it to the dictionary, that they added irregardless to the,
no.
to the dictionary.
No.
Oh, no. And John Florida is sending us a link, irregardless.
Okay.
Use it in a sentence. The photographer always says, irregardless of how his subjects are feeling, smile.
Mm. Okay, here's a voice.
Irregardless means the same as regardless, but the negative prefix IR merely duplicates the suffix less and is unnecessary.
Of course it is. It's a terrible use of anything.
And it even says, but is regarded as incorrect in standard English. Well, then why put it in the phone? Why have a phone book? Why put it in the dictionary?
Why is this in the damned yellow pages, Brian asks? Here, I'm gonna play their version of it here.
Irregardless.
Oh, it's a very fancy English way.
Well, that you've convinced me, British lady.
Yes, turning me on.
Irregardless.
Yes. Oh, here's another
irregardless.
One.
Irregardless.
Well, that's the same lady. I don't know why they told me there were two different things, because they're both the same. Anyway.
She's basically saying that show on Netflix, Godless, is eerie.
Eerie Godless.
Yeah, eerie godless.
Yeah, I like that. There were a couple episodes, they were a little eerie.
Jeff Daniels, very eerie in that show.
I'm such in a Western mood right now because of that damn Coen Brothers thing. I love that so much. You know what? There's a whole bunch of cool theories flying around about how they're connected. And I recommend people, if you're into that and
about how the different stories were connected.
Yeah, because normally anthology movies are a little more obvious about it. Like Four Rooms, it's the same butler or the same room
bellhop.
Guy, bellhop. Yeah, and it's and they're all connected because of him, Tim Roth. Everybody, and this one's not like
Cat's
that.
Eye. There's a cat that travels through all this stuff, causing all these.
Exactly.
Problems.
This is not. Yeah. This does not have that in an obvious way, but there's some cool deep dive stuff going on out there on Reddit and other places. So. I'm not saying it's accurate. Maybe the Coen Brothers are just yanking us around, but I think people should go read that and watch that because it's awesome. And Sidian, I'm not going to spoil it, Sidian. Jeez.
Just feels like the Tim Blake Nelson stuff is in a different universe, like a universe where physics and logic and like he's a walking, talking cartoon.
He really is. That guy's the best, man.
He is the best.
Such a good cast job on that. I'm sure they're all friends. They probably just texted him and say, hi, Tim Blake. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he said, I'm not doing anything. I said, well, come on over and put on this white suit and sing. And he said, okay.
Right.
Anyway, thank you for that. Hey, Ryan, let's quickly remind folks about the cover-thon and the plan for Friday, if you would.
Correctamundo. Yes. Friday, 2 days from right now, is going to be the cover-thon, the annual event where I sit in front of this camera and this microphone for this time 16 hours. Last year was 16 hours, so we're kind of keeping with the 16-hour trend to raise money for Alzheimer's research and Coverville. I talk about it being a split down the middle, but usually it's still like a 2/3 Alzheimer's, 1/3 Coverville. As soon as my costs are paid, then the rest goes, or the surplus goes to Alzheimer's, and it's always at least half. And usually more. Anyway, playing your covers, your cover requests all day long. We're also going to have a live film sack. We're going to be talking about the movie 16 Candles with Randy Jordan and a guy who's going to be coming up here on TMS here in just a moment. Also, Scott and I are going to be doing a live morning stream PM, TMS PM. The most PM-iest TMS PM we've ever done, 6 PM.
Yeah, that's PM as hell, man.
So super PM. Also doing an episode of Soundography with Hammond about girl groups. like your Shirelles, your Crystals, your Ronettes, all those. An episode of the Pokemon Go podcast when really we're going to be talking probably just as much about Pokemon Let's Go and all the stuff going on there. An hour with Seabass. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff going on, but it all comes down to you people. Who are you calling you people? Mm. Go to coverville.com/coverthon and you can find out more information there, as well as make a donation and an early donation, and also put in a request for 3 songs. That's what I'm going to be starting off the day with on Friday, is your request. So get them on in there, coverville.com/coverthon.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Jess.
And Jet.
Jess.
All right, so phones are down. I typed this in the chat for those, give them a little heads up. So we're going to do this a little bit different today. I want people to send me a tweet on Twitter, at Scott Johnson. And how this is going to work is,
always follow me on Twitter.
I'm going to randomly pick one of your tweets, and then I'm going to send you a DM. And then you're going to get to participate.
Wow.
In the thing. And then we'll have a real-time conversation via that DM so that it's not laggy in the chat. He'll be able to answer right away. Right. So we'll see how this goes. It's just a... see if we can get through it kind of thing today, because I still don't have phones working. But anyway, here's your theme. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. The one, the only, the remarkable Brian Dunaway. Sorry, Brian Dunaway, everybody. Brian Dunaway.
Really?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm remarkable too.
I keep really doing it. I did this. He's saying really because on Monday I did this on the Boop Show like twice, was it? Where I said Brian Ibbett, and sometimes it just happens. It's just part of my brain cross. Like I know too many Brians. I work with them constantly. I've called you Dunaway before, so it's not exclusive to you, Brian Dunaway. I've done this to Dunaway. I've called Justin Brian before. Like, it's all messed up. So,
hi Ibbett. How are you doing?
Oh, hi.
I'm good, Brian Dunaway. How are you?
That's fantastic. Good to have you
here. I can tell us apart.
we are going to play a little Battle Royale, and we're going to do it with this weird Twitter idea, because I don't have any other way to do it today. So this is how we're going to do it. All right, so let me see. I've already picked one at random. Who is it? Oh, it's our friend Greg Skinner, a.k.a. TV Z-Gon, is today's participant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't send any more tweets. He's the guy. Done sending me tweets. Greg,
I'm sending a tweet now.
Greg, you've been picked. You are part of this thing, and you're now going to listen what the rules are, what our topic is. And then you're going to need to tell me the usual in that DM. Do you want me to win? Do you want Brian to win? And who do you want to start? All right, Ibbett, take it away.
Yes, I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, or they repeat an answer, or they take too damn long to come up with an answer, the winner's going to go to the other player.
Wow.
Your job, Greg, is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for another one of these awesome robots, the last of the two that he sent me. These things are super cool, man. You'd look them up online. I don't have the name of them in front of me. They are called...
Robot.
They are called robots. No, they are called... Zumo robots, and these things you can draw a marker line on a piece of paper and it'll follow that line. You can put it on a board, and no matter which direction you tilt that board, it'll always rotate to where it's pointing towards the highest point.
What happens if you tell it your deepest, darkest secrets?
It keeps them. It keeps them silent.
Nice.
And
so what happens in robots?
Judge
you. Robot.
It does judge you. Silently.
Okay, good.
Beep, beep, beep.
Great.
Come on, we'd expect nothing less. Anyway, that's courtesy of Jim Wright. Jim's Fridge is the Twitter account if you want to follow him, Jim's Fridge. Anyway, that's the prize today. Now, TVZ Gone, I hope you're paying attention. The topic today, very timely, coming to us from Jamie, TMS Mashups. This comes to us from thedailymeal.com. This is a nice recipe site, really good recipe site. They are, based on popularity, ranking the 15 best Thanksgiving side dishes.
Oh, my now,
turkey's
Lord.
Turkey's going to be your main deal.
All right.
So don't say turkey.
Okay.
Also, I'm going to look for the top 14 because the 15th one is generic vegetables, and I don't want. I don't.
That was gonna be my first answer. Generic vegetables. Mom brings them every year.
Yes, get older.
Generic vegetables.
Could you please pass the generic vegetables?
If there's time at the end of all this, I have a funny story to tell you about generic vegetables. So just.
Oh, okay. Wow. Are they white with a black stripe across them and plain Helvetica Texas as vegetables?
It's just something my weird sister-in-law did at the pre-Thanksgiving we had a week ago that was the oddest thing in the in our family history. We're still trying to figure out what happened.
Oh, I love it.
I forgot to tell you about it on the show. We'll talk about it after all this.
Totally love hearing about it. All right. So, but the top 14 are up for grabs. So. I want you guys to tell me.
This is where this is where we're gonna really discover how weird our families are.
Because my only
frame of reference really is my own family, and I'm gonna assume that everybody eats the same thing.
Well, yeah, I mean that is the thing because it is regional. Like there are some things that we hear about for Thanksgiving sides that are like, wow, that's a thing, and you know. So there you go.
All right, Greg Skinner says Thanksgiving side dishes, eh? I'm going to go with Scott to win and Brian to start.
All right. No. Scott to win, Brian to start.
I guess that's a safe bet. You know, I mostly eat at the fast food restaurant, so it's probably a good, it's probably a safe bet to go with Family Man over there, you know, who, so anyway,
Family Man we over had, there.
Well, no, if you say French fries is one of your sides, then you're just not in the spirit of this.
There's no question that after the turkey, if there is not some stuffing on that table, then you're not having Thanksgiving. You're just having a turkey.
This is not only true, but the most true. Number one answer on the board.
And I
stuffing.
Prefer the stovetop stuffing. You may.
No. Listen, things. I was about to tell you, I'm with you 100%. I think a lot of people may not admit it, but I think that stovetop stuffing, that arrangement of stuffing, is everyone's favorite. Now, maybe you could make an amazing homemade version of that, but still stay within the spirit of why it's good, and that's still good.
There's still a danger of cooking it inside the bird, so stovetop is totally the way to go.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Well, I think cook it in the bird.
I think you mean the brand is what you're saying, right? You're saying stovetop stuffing, right, Brian?
I'm saying the brand of stovetop stuffing. That's what I'm talking about. I love their seasoning.
Why couldn't you put that inside the turkey if you wanted, couldn't you?
Well, you could, but again, you're adding something, you're adding some density to the turkey that might reduce...
Not get cooked.
The bird, the outside of the bird's going to get cooked. Stuffing. The juices that come from the bird and go into that stovetop stuffing inside the bird might not get cooked to the temperature
Stuffing is a big salmonella slurper because it's just bread, right? Yeah. That's really, you know, if you really get down to it, it's bread, and it's dry bread that's just sucking up every bit of juice that it can.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. You're right. All right, so you picked that.
So don't put it in the bird. Just get your box of stovetop stuffing, mix it with water and whatever, and
that's how I do it.
Done.
It's fine, 5 minutes. Fine advice.
Super easy.
I'm going to go with cranberry sauce.
Oh, or cranberry sauce. Believe it or not, number 11 on the list.
Ooh, wow.
Me because I feel like that is as important as stuffing.
Yeah, I mean, because you know it, because you made that mistake, because lots of people do it in the can, which we, you know, I'm no different. I know people like to do it fancy, but in the can's where it comes from, and lots of times people forget it, and they forget to put it out because it's such an easy thing to fix. They're just like, hey, where's the cranberry sauce?
Yeah, you heard him right. He said everyone likes to do it in the can. All right, Dunaway.
Everybody likes to do it in the can.
What's your
show title?
You like to do it in the can. Yeah. We all like to do it in the can. All right, next is me.
Yeah, next, you. You're on.
All right, well. I'm not going well. I don't know about you guys, but I got to have the gravy because our turkeys are a little dry.
Yeah.
Gravy. It's good on everything. Number two answer on the board.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm going to go.
Because this is America.
This is America.
America.
Gravy's great. I'm going with you're going to put the mashed potatoes in there because you got to have that.
No, that's a good point.
Number three answer on the board. Very good. Yes.
Right.
If you're going to have a gravy. You gotta have something to kind of be the delivery method of the gravy to your face, and mashed potatoes is the way to do it.
Yeah,
I'm a little nervous about this one because I feel like it may be a little more regional, and maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with macaroni and cheese. We always have macaroni and cheese.
See, now that must be a Southern thing because that is not one of the things that I'm familiar with here. However,
come on.
It is the sixth most popular side dish on the
list. I was getting worried.
How is I also grew up where there was no mac and cheese at Thanksgiving, and I can't imagine why that's higher than freaking cranberries. I don't get it.
Right, exactly. Yes. Right.
Not everybody likes cranberries. If you remember somebody that said no. Yeah. None of that delicious macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, I guess not.
It just feels like it's, you know, it's something that you might have later with the leftover turkey, but
I like me some I love mac and cheese, especially like some crazy gourmet stuff, but just never had it there.
I'm getting so hungry now.
Let's go with
my list right now too.
Let's do that green bean casserole. That lady just died.
Oh.
Green bean casserole. Yes, number 4 on the list.
All right.
Now, do y'all always do the casserole? Do y'all do the casserole according to the Lipton's cup of soup onion things?
No.
Or do y'all just do green beans?
No, it's cream of mushrooms. So you use the cream of mushrooms.
Right.
Green beans and
yeah.
But don't you top it with the little crunchy onions?
Yeah,
do that
we
too?
Do that. We do the onion thing. Okay. Kim kind of has her own little hybrid thing for it, and it's not quite the same as everybody else's, but it's in that vein. I mean, I think pretty much everybody hovers right around the original recipe for that.
Right.
All right, what do you got?
All right, next up has got to be my maize. I need some corn because, you know, that's how they originally did it, and that's what we still do. It's right. It's got to be corn, right?
The Indians call it maize. Yes, number 8 on the list, it's corn. Big which again is why it's like, okay, why have generic vegetables but then you've got corn.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder what the
I don't know how you guys grew up, but I grew up around cows and farms, and many Thanksgiving we snapped the green beans there, and we also shucked the corn.
Yeah,
and so it was always fun.
Yeah, we had corn for a while growing up. We had like a little patch.
We don't do that much anymore, but yeah.
All right. Blah 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 blah. Oh boy, we're getting in weird territory here.
Right.
Yams.
Yams. Yeah, yams what I am.
Candied yams, number 13 on the list.
Oh, I thought I won for sure because I was thinking no one eats yams.
No, every year my mom makes those. We have them every time. Yeah. Every year.
Yep. That's
the way it went. All right, Dunaway.
Eric.
Gotta love the candied yams.
How about generic vegetables? No, I'm just kidding. Let me see here. All right, well, so you gotta have the rolls, right? You gotta have bread. You gotta have the bread, but we already did. Right,
some nice Parker House rolls, or maybe that Hawaiian bread rolls, whichever.
Oh, that's always good.
Number 5 on the list.
Wow,
very good.
Wait, man, you was like stalling on that one.
Yeah.
Number. You guys have covered the top 6 so far, so very good.
What's the top? What's the total? It's 20, is it? Top 20?
14 is what we're.
Oh, okay.
We're
doing. Oh man. I don't want to lose this for Greg. He feels like a guy that would love a robot, too, so I'm trying to do my best here.
Right.
Let's see. What else would you have
there?
Sure,
we got one more.
I know there's one thing we always had as kids, but I just don't think it's... I think it's just because my mom was nuts about it. And I just feel like it didn't go anywhere else.
Don't screw up. Don't screw up Turkey Day, Scott. Don't screw up Turkey Day.
Oh, this is going to be really hard. I mean, okay, I'll throw out the alternative to turkey. Right. Not everyone has turkey, so is ham considered a side dish? Because we always have a turkey ham.
I don't think that would be considered a side dish. Why am I telling you that? Shut up.
I don't know. It doesn't have
ham
to
is never a side dish. Shut
sure
up, Brian.
Is. They don't have to replace it. The way we do it at my mom's is she'll have a turkey, and then there's always a little ham there for those who want ham. Does that count as a side dish?
That's not a side dish. I'm going to shut up.
Scott,
no!
Not a side dish.
Well, he was still asking if it was a side dish. Did you take your finger off the piece?
Well, I don't know. Ask Brian's the judge. I have no idea.
The chat room is going to have a heyday with this and yell at me. But you know what? It's Thanksgiving. It's time for a Thanksgiving miracle. Scott did not pull his finger off the chess piece. So he was just asking if
he's still asking if it was a side dish.
A side dish.
All right.
So I'll tell you no. Ham is not considered a side dish.
Oh, interesting. Well, then
shut
I won't
up,
use that room. One. All right. I won't use that one then. How about salad? Some kind of salad.
Oh, salad. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Now you've lost. Yeah, no salad. Again, this is America.
That's good because
out of the top 14 things, none of them are considered salad.
What?
So it's not fruit salad's not in there?
No, no fruit salad.
No Jell-O salad, like Jell-O salad of some sort. No,
that is a very that is something we do. We always have the. Well, that's kind of a Christmas thing, though. I usually see the Jell-O salad.
Oh, do desserts count?
No, desserts don't count.
Okay,
oh, they don't.
No, desserts.
Ooh, boy, almost lost because the next thing I was going to say was going to be pecan pie, and I would not have asked. Is that a side? Because it is always on the side of my plate.
We have salads. Excuse me. Every year we have some kind of salad, whether it's like
You guys are healthier than the majority of America because it did not even crack the top 15.
Damn it! Give us the other ones. What else was on there?
Here's the other ones. So sweet potato casserole, which is separate from candied yams, but sweet potato casseroles where you have the mashed sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top.
Oh, so good.
Brussels sprouts, cornbread.
Brussels sprouts. Don't be running past Brussels sprouts like everybody has Brussels sprouts at Thanksgiving.
We don't. Never have.
That's trash.
We have them, but we don't eat them at Thanksgiving. Was it something you've prepared or that you've just been to or what?
We've made them ourselves. Like you bake them with a little bit of butter.
Yeah,
they get a little crispy. They're actually really, really good. But with Thanksgiving, for whatever reason, they fit with.
Let's see. Things you don't do at Thanksgiving. You don't talk politics, and you don't serve Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
You don't.
Especially it's great
anger.
Same time.
Right. So Brussels sprouts, cornbread, glazed carrots, and creamed spinach.
Do y'all do cornbread? I really would have thought that was more regional. That's the reason why
I said
rolls.
We do cornbread, but Kim's from Mississippi, so it's not fair. She probably brought
up
there.
We don't do cornbread. We just do rolls. I don't think you need both cornbread and rolls.
My sister makes some kind of weird orange rolls where it's like got orange peel, or orange zest from the outside of an orange. You kind of grind it off into the dough, and it makes this kind of orange-flavored bread, and it's really good.
Oh, that sounds good. Let me also tell Ibit, cornbread and rolls, yes. If you go to Cracker Barrel, always get the mixed basket.
Well,
there.
They provide you the bread bowl. Again, not currently happening. Not till I'm near my target weight, but cornbread and rolls together, maybe not so much.
All right, well, the prize moves forward. I'm sorry, Greg Skinner. Aww. I suck. I'm lame. That was a hard one.
America's lame for not eating enough salad on Thanksgiving. That's what it is.
What's lame
about
it?
I've never seen a salad at our Thanksgiving, by the way.
That's because you guys are weird. Here's the thing, though. I had a second chance after the ham thing. I totally had a second chance, and I still blew it. So, Greg, I'll make it up to you somehow. You know what? I'll give him credit right now. My current Twitter avatar is a picture Greg took of me in Vegas. So he deserves some credit for that. There you go, buddy. There's a little something.
That was quite an upset. I'm usually fast food's all about the fast food, but wow.
Yeah. Well,
I feel good about today.
Someone else is going to get a robot. Well done, Brian Dunaway. You've done it, and I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. By the way.
Oh, thank you. You have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. We'll talk to you Friday. All right. Well, there's the end of that.
That is the end of that. Yeah, Tina's mom makes this overnight salad, which is like whipped cream with fruit cocktail and marshmallows and slivered almonds in it. And again, that sits on the side of our plate during the meal that we don't consider dessert.
Mm.
It seems weird.
Yeah.
They also do celery stalks with pimento spread in them.
Interesting. Ooh, pimento.
As a side dish.
Don't like that pimento, man. Not for me.
Pink and green.
Not good.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville. Yeah, just because we've got Coverthon on Friday doesn't mean that I haven't overfilled my plate already with something I also do every year. I save Beatles cover stories for Thanksgiving. There's so many Beatles covers out there that doing these once a year and timing them for Thanksgiving so you've got something to listen to is an annual tradition. Been doing it since the start of the show. And today is no exception. Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the release of the White Album, which technically there's no album called the White Album. It's called The Beatles, but it was a white cover, so people called it the White Album. Mm. 30 songs on there, and I whittled down a list of about 400 covers down to covers of each of those 30 songs. So we will be going through the White Album track by track with covers today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live or twitch.tv/coverville.
Nice. All right, now here, real quick, I'll just rip through it, tell people the story about my sister-in-law's stupid
thing. Oh, yeah, right.
25 people to feed, Everybody was in charge of something. Kim was in charge of a whole bunch of crap. Everybody's in charge of some part of the meal. My sister called everybody and said, hey, will you do this? Will you do this? So everybody got assigned stuff. My Korean sister-in-law, I say that because there is some language barrier stuff there sometimes. She doesn't, you know, she's still got a very heavy accent, sure. And there's always some confusion at these events. She was in charge of vegetables, some kind of vegetables, and then I think, I can't remember what the other thing was, but vegetables and something else.
All right.
And she said, okay, great. She shows up, and I'm not kidding, with a child's cereal bowl. I had kids like drawings on the side of it.
Uh-huh.
A cereal bowl size. So this big, 25 people at this event. She knew this. A cereal bowl this big with three quarters of a can of canned peas in it.
Like, not even a full can of canned peas.
Yeah, you know the kind too, the mushy kind that you just get in the store, you know, just crappy Del Monte peas or whatever. Just in this bowl. And she comes waltzing into the kitchen, plops it down on the table, and walks away as if it's all great.
Achieved.
Yeah.
Achievement unlocked.
Did exactly what you asked, except you didn't. So no one ate it either. No one even touched the peas. Because, come on.
Not even heated. Right. At least, you know, take the time to heat them up or something.
She is a hoot, man. There were years in the past where this kind of stuff would make people mad. But now when she does it, we just laugh and add it to the list of great family stories because she is kind of crazy. But she's really funny. Also, I mean, I really like her, but she's got funny ideas. The news. Here's a great story for you, I suppose. Actually, I'm going to skip one because I know we're not going to have time. I'm going to skip to this one. Jimmy Dean, speaking of food and sausages and whatnot.
That's right.
Jimmy Dean is offering sausage-scented wrapping paper. Brian.
Nothing like feeling like you've got to wash your hands after you unwrap that Xbox One.
Yeah, no kidding. Or walk into the living room and you're just like, what is that smell? It's your presence. Exactly. It's your presence, kids. Don't worry about it.
Why is the dog drooling all over the place?
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Boomer would just eat those packages is what she'd do.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
We're not doing this. But anyway... This article says, if you ever really, really wanted to wake up on Christmas morning, come down to the tree and have your gift smell like a greasy plate of breakfast sausage. Well, now there's a gift wrap for that. Or they say, now there's an wrap for that. Get like an app for that.
Like
get
there's an app for that. Remember that meme from...
when did they stop ever... When did that ad campaign end? It's been years, right?
It feels like it's 7 or 8 years. There's an app for that kind of thing.
It was early in the App Store life cycle. Yep. Anyway, Jimmy Dean announced it would give away sausage-scented wrapping paper as part of its holiday recipe gift exchange program. Quote, our sausage-scented wrapping paper is here to turn your gifts into delicious ones. That seems like they're encouraging you to eat it, but whatever. Because nothing says the holidays like the smell of sizzling sausage. Make your holiday just a little brighter when you sniff its savory scent and see visions of sausages dancing in your head, says the company. It comes in three designs. One shows the Jimmy Dean logo atop a Christmas tree. One is covered in wrapped packages of ground sausage. And another shows sausage patties being fried up in a cast iron skillet.
I had to go look at the photo because I was visualizing a photo, like giant photos of sizzling sausage in a skillet. But they're all kind of stylized, repeated little bloop, 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 bloop patterns and stuff. They're actually not bad.
No, they're fine.
Oh, I guess actually that might be the sizzling sausages in the pan actually might be a photo now that I look at it. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Well, maybe it is.
It is a photo. Okay. The Christmas tree with the signature of Jimmy Dean on the front of it is stylized, but the tubes of... You're looking at basically the plastic chubs of, love that term, chubs of sausage.
Plastic chub. Is that what they call that?
Those are chubs, yeah.
I've never heard that before. Yeah, I love that term.
A chub of sausage. Or if you're not as hungry, go get a half chub.
Yeah, just a little half chubby. Look at that, you guys. That right there with the Jimmy Dean on the gold that I'm showing in the chat room, that's a chub. All right. Well, can't say we didn't learn something today. Anyway, this is a thing you can do right now. Probably a good time because, you know, holidays are rapidly heading toward us. Let's see. To participate, you need to cook a recipe from the Jimmy Dean website, take a picture and submit it, and pick out your prize. Sausage-scented paper isn't the only thing you can sink your teeth into. You could also pick out an ornament, apron, or vinyl record. The winner will eventually, or sorry, will receive a diamond-studded replica of Jimmy Dean's belt buckle. Wow. That's weird to me.
That is weird. He touches it. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. It is cool that you can get it for free just by doing something, making some, making a recipe with their sausage. But
yeah, Jimmy Dean's chub.
What's the vinyl? I gotta find out what's on the vinyl record.
Yeah, was Jimmy Dean
90 minutes of sausage sizzling sounds? Then I'm kind of in.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I kind of want to do this.
But wasn't he a singer, Jimmy Dean? He did more than just put his name on.
Yeah,
meat.
Country singer, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So that's probably what it is. Probably a country album or something.
Probably.
Full of Jimmy Dean hits.
Yeah.
I think we've probably all forgotten what those might be. But
I don't remember. I couldn't tell you a single song that. Let's see here. Gary Meyer, no. Boy, none of these tweets actually have a link to the...
They're bad tweeters.
They really are.
Yeah, learn how to tweet, everyone.
Oh, here we go. JimmyDeanGiftExchange.com is where you go.
No.
Oh, it totally is the Jimmy Dean holiday record. Oh, out of stock. Right now, so they're out of stock of the Jimmy Dean holiday record, the handsome holiday apron, the sausage-scented wrapping paper. All that's left is the glass sausage ornament that looks like you're hanging a chub of sausage off the tree.
Wow. Jimmy Dean's
put
still with us?
In your tree.
Is Jimmy Dean still alive or is he gone? Is he in a chub somewhere?
I think he's passed on.
Yeah, Jimmy Dean can't
Although,
be alive, can
it wasn't the same guy who did the ads recently, right?
Let's see. I think
he's passed away.
Jimmy
he's
Dean, American singer, date of death.
Yeah, 2010. He died in 2010, age 81.
Yeah, he was the one. He would get out on the porch, though, and go, I'm Jimmy Dean, and this is where my chub is. Look at my chub, everybody, he'd say. All right, well, that's good stuff. There's been a chickenpox outbreak.
So weird. How do you go from being a musician to coming up with a line of sausage? Like, it seems like you've got to give something up pretty drastically to go for the other, right? Like, well, I was thinking I'd record another album. You know what I really want to do is come up with some sausage.
More like George Foreman or something, right? Like, you're a boxer, but
I think George Foreman just put his name on something that somebody else, and that's probably what Jimmy Dean did too.
Yeah, that's my thinking. He probably
he didn't really work up the recipe for that sausage or anything like that. He just hey, we've got this line of sausages, we just want to put your name on it. Okay,
like,
don't know if we can make a Christmas ornament of this in about 20 years.
Paul Newman's own brand. It's like that, kind of.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any
of
that?
I want to feel like he was a lot more involved in that, though. Like, he would look over the recipes and make sure that they were...
I'd like to think that, but I'll bet you it was less than we think it is.
Yeah, probably.
Just because, you know, he was busy race car driving. Like, when does that guy go, okay, I'm going to go do the whatever 500...
I'm going to mix up the batch of salad
drinks. Yeah, I'm going to do the whatever race. I'm going to win all these things. I'm going to be a pro racer around the world. Hey, well, hold on a second. Slow down. We need you to sit down at this table and taste this freaking ranch dressing before you go. Make sure it's good enough. Like, I don't think he cared. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe he did.
And you know what? Kenny Rogers Roasters? I'm sure Kenny Rogers worked behind the counter one of those for a while when times were lean.
Might have. I like that. I was a big Kenny Rogers Roasters fan. I thought it was good food.
I was too, yeah.
Yeah, good chicken. Also, what was that other one? Boston.
Oh, Boston Market.
Yes, where'd they go? Are they around?
We actually still have one. There's one a block away from Tristan's new apartment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you don't see them anywhere, and it's like, oh yeah, I can point to one of them, the only one that I know of that's still around. By the way, good use of the cough switch there, by the way.
Thank you. I had to, because
well done.
Sometimes it'll come on, and I'm just like, all right, here we go. Buckle in, everybody. Time for coughing. We should have talked to Dunaway about this, because it affects the Carolinas, specifically North Carolina. But a chickenpox outbreak hit a North Carolina school, and the reason is, they have a high vaccination exemption rate.
Yes.
A bunch of parents are like, I ain't doing that. Didn't you hear what's your name get on the TV and tell everybody vaccinations are giving you government blood? Whatever they do now.
Yes.
So enough of that happens. Eventually there's an outbreak, and that's what happened. There is a huge concentration of families who claim religious exemption from vaccines, and now they're facing the state's worst chickenpox outbreak in more than 20 years. Chickenpox outbreak has affected 36 students at Asheville Waldorf School. Health officials with Buncombe County said.
Buncombe.
It's pretty good. It ranks as North Carolina's largest since chickenpox vaccine became available more than 20 years ago. The Asheville Waldorf School has one of the highest rates in the state of families who opt out of vaccinations based on religious beliefs. Where in the Bible does it say don't get your vaccines? Where does it say that?
Yeah, that seems
and weird.
Thou shall remain clean from the needle and not get thy flu shots. Or
yeah, like there. And I hate to say it, but I have some people I know kind of close to us that I'm not giving out names who refuse to ever get a flu shot, refuse to ever participate in any sort of herd immunity sort of science. And completely believe it when What's Her Playboy gets up and says, these shots are giving everybody whatever.
Yeah, Jenny McCarthy. Right.
It's all horse shit. Send me your emails. Oh, totally. Go ahead and add at me, everybody. We have the science. You have a bunch of scare tactics from Hollywood types.
And if you're both an anti-vaxxer and a flat earther, please let me know. Please send me an email.
Yeah. I want flat earther. I want, I'm trying to think of my favorite conspiracies. I'll tell you who the worst person to sit and talk to, or anyone who doesn't think the Holocaust deniers are the worst people to talk to.
Oh yes, Holocaust deniers are the worst.
Yeah, they have terrible explanations for what happened to all those people. It's awful. Don't listen to those guys. Stoic Squirrel says he's an anti-earther.
I like that. Yes, anti-earther.
Got to go to another planet, yo. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're screwed. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yep.
Taco Bell in the news.
Yeah, good old Taco Bell.
They're offering holiday sweaters and a Thanksgiving recipe. So check this out. Taco Bell is trading turkeys for tacos and getting the holiday spirit for Thanksgiving, or getting into it. The Yum Brands fast food chain partnered with Tipsy Elves. Not actual elves who are tipsy, but a company called Tipsy Elves.
Good, because that would be politically incorrect, I think.
I agree.
They're called drunk little people.
Drunk little people. Inebriated small people. Let's get this straight. Right. We want to be nice and PC about this. anyway, they're releasing a line of Taco Bell themed sweaters. I want one.
Look at these right now. They're kind of cool. I hate to admit it.
Yeah, I want one. They also have leggings as well. And the red sweaters say thank you for Taco Bell, or thankful for Taco Bell, while the blue one reads happy Friendsgiving alongside images of a taco turkey. Each sweater will set customers back $59 U.S. Jeez!
Yeah.
The leggings, which are covered in tacos, might be the way I'd go. $28, a little cheaper. Some have already sold out, but don't despair. A spokeswoman told Fox News that the chain is looking forward to bringing back more festive gear soon. Chad, I will give you a quick glimpse at this so you don't have to go find it yourselves. There you go. There's a bunch of hipsters standing around a table eating Taco Bell. And
these guys had to get photographed in August in Los Angeles, judging by the background there and the types of trees, wearing these sweaters and sitting around a turkey acting like, hey, this is the best Thanksgiving ever.
You know what, though? I mean, I hate to admit it. It makes me want Taco Bell just looking at it.
Yeah.
This is the problem, guys. This is the problem.
No. Just say Fresco. Yeah. Get chicken and Fresco.
There you go.
Brian don't would get know. Beef, get a burrito supreme with chicken, get it fresco style, no cheese, no sour cream, and that's a manageable number of points for a pre-Thanksgiving lunch, if you ask me.
Check the WW.
It's probably where I'm going today.
It sounds all right. Maybe I'll do that. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Tom Merritt will be here for Tom's Tech Time. We'll also get a chance to hang out with Nicole and do recommendals. All that and more coming right up, but before that, Brian's got a song, and he's going to play it.
I am. Hope you like it. So it is, we're going to Melbourne, Australia, and one of the performers, Luke Moore Martin, actually was born in the UK but moved to Melbourne from London, met Eliza Jacobs, who you're going to hear on vocals here. They're a duo that's all about creating solidarity through underground house music rooted in deep melodic sounds with soul. Hey, I don't know about all that, but I like it. It's good electronic music, and you know how I like to mix things up. This is brand new from the band Arm in Arm, courtesy of the A&R department. The single came out on the 9th of November, so a couple of weeks ago, but it's really, really good. The song is called Nightfly. Here is Arm in Arm.
I don't want to calling for you, my love. Nightfly, I'm gonna catch you, hold you in the light. Nightfly, set you free before the sunrise. Nightfly, I'm gonna catch you, hold you.
Entire episode of the show excuse me is brought to you by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. I've got some awesome socks that I'm wearing right this second, and oh man, does it feel good, especially when I have this cold. It's fantastic. Heat on demand with a touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat through these little panels, and it's like a car, you know, a hot heated car seat. It's like that. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. And they can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. That's kind of cool, right? My phone's almost dead. My feet are warm. I needed to charge my phone and keep my feet warm. Perfect for any friend or family for your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody who likes the outdoors but doesn't necessarily love the cold. That clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer t-shirts and long johns. A pair of long johns sounds good right now. Anyway, you can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. And Action Heat is available in men's and women's clothing, and they have great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid winter weather. Heated products that fit everyone's budget, starting at just $39.99. I love them. Everything I've got from Action Heat keeps me warm and toasty. These socks are killing it right now. We got a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/TMS to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/TMS or use the coupon code TMS to check out and save 20%. So you can actually go to that URL or use the TMS code. That's how it works. 20% off either way. We'll make it easy for you. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your other or outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring today's episode of TMS.
This is the story of the little bull who wanted to sing, but sing in a special way. His ambition was to sing in the Bull of the Woods Quartet.
Rich and mild.
No, no. You must sing deeper.
Rich and mild.
You see, Bull of the Woods chewing tobacco is rich. It's mild, too. And your voice must express that mildness.
Rich and mild.
Deeper.
Rich and mild. Fuller.
And so the little bull worked and sang and kept singing. His voice got richer and fuller and sweet as Bull of the Woods chewing tobacco.
We're not leaving until this Christmas ham gives me a pull-up.
I don't care. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everyone. We're back. That's totally my jam. I listened to that whole album. It's real good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yep, I like it a lot. Good pick, as always.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you very much.
Turns out Brian's got a bit of an ear for such things, and that's
well,
great.
Well, I try.
He does. He does try.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man, the myth, the legend, is Tom Merritt, and he's on the line right now. Hi, Tom.
Well, hello, I am. Hi. I'm right here on this line.
Hi, you are on this line here. Welcome
You're
to our
on
line.
The line.
You're on the line. Don't say anything too crazy.
I've put everything on the line.
Yes, you have.
Show.
You certainly have. Tom Merritt, of course, comes here on Wednesdays, talks about the latest and greatest in technology news, especially as it applies to Wednesday, because, I don't know, it's just the day we picked, but also I'm on the Daily Tech News Show later, and then we can kind of follow up on stuff, and it's a great little, get us started kind of little thing we do here, a little dose of it in the morning. So, Tom, I inquire of you, what's going on in the world of technology today?
Well, I think one of the thing I want to mention to you and Brian is something we actually talked about on yesterday's DTNS, but I feel it will be appealing to most people out there in the Morning Stream Tadpool, not using passwords anymore to securely log in.
Oh, please do tell, because I am interested in said method. I like it.
Yeah. FIDO2 is a multi-company organization. I believe Google was at least instrumental in organizing it, but Microsoft's part of it, Samsung's part of it, a ton of companies are part of it. So it's cross-company. It's not any one company's deal. And their whole purpose has been to get rid of passwords, but maintain security, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the latest advances in its mission is that Microsoft is implementing FIDO2 password-free logins for Microsoft accounts, Outlook, Office 365, Skype, Xbox Live on Windows 10, etc. Anything on Windows 10 and the Edge browser. That's what supports it right now. So you won't be able to go to your Xbox One and do this yet. But what it means is all you need is either, a hardware key. So something like a YubiKey. Mm-hmm. And the new ones, these can work with NFC. They can work with USB. They can work with Bluetooth, some of them. The one from Google does that too. So you use that to either tap or plug in to verify one part of your identity. And then you either use Windows Hello, which can do facial recognition or fingerprint recognition, or your Microsoft Authenticator app to provide the second factor. So it's still two-factor authentication, but you're able to do it without having to remember a password. It's the two factors are neither one of them are something you know, unless it's a PIN code. They actually allow you to do a PIN code as a second factor too, which is sort of a simplified password. But this is well vetted as a very secure way to log into things and not have to require you to know a password. And because the encryption in all of these situations is stored locally, it is resistant to phishing attacks. Like you can't just accidentally give someone the credentials to log into your account.
Right. So my question is, this all sounds great. I'm going to follow the Fido stuff a little bit here and there, and every time something comes up, I get excited about it. But like any standard, adoption's an issue, right? And that adoption meaning you know, browsers, companies with security issues or stuff that could be potentially issues, like, you know, the PayPals of the world and your banks and things like that. How quickly they'll adopt it. Does it seem like in 2018, with so many logins and so many places and so many places that are currently running two-factor, I mean, my list alone is ridiculous. My 1Password list is out of control. Do you see any hurdles to adoption that you might not have seen in, say, 05 or 06 when things were a little fresher and newer?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a long time for every company. Think how long it's taken for companies to get on two-factor authentication. Yeah.
And there's still plenty that aren't.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see this happen overnight. But with Google already on it, with Microsoft on it, Facebook has included a partial implementation of this. Twitter has, GitHub, LastPass, 1Password, Dashlane. The really important companies to accept this are accepting it. It's not a question of if, but when. Right. When I talk about my MIT's solid platform for identity management, that's a big if, because we don't know if we can get companies to agree to a system that decentralizes identity management and gives you control. I would like them to, but we don't know if they will. Right. This will happen. Microsoft's already adopting it. Google's already adopting it. It's just a matter of time, and it's going to be a long tail, is my guess. So you'll start to see this from these bigger companies implemented more often and encouraged more often. And then the more you see that, then slowly, just like with two-factor authentication, you'll see other companies like, well, we should probably support that too. All right, let's get that out there.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any, I was looking at like token.com or tokenize.com, a company that makes, you know, security features, software, hardware, that kind of stuff. And they have a whole article about why they're excited about FIDO2 and how it doesn't actually disrupt their business. But I wonder how many, that's just one example, but I wonder how many people this would affect. Like, would this affect 1Password? Would this affect...
1Password has adopted it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And LastPass and Dashlane.
Oh, I missed the 1Password mention. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe it's good for them that they embrace this stuff. I guess what I was saying is, a lot of times this stuff comes along and then you find out somebody's built a whole business around a lack of something in the industry, and then suddenly there's a new standard adopted, and now everyone's doing it, and then you're like, oh, well, I guess our business is obsolete. You don't think
And there's a second question here, which is, okay, how long before people adopt it? How long before you get rid of passwords as a backstop, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that Microsoft is supporting this doesn't mean that you don't have a Microsoft password.
Right.
It just means that you don't have to remember it. You don't have to use it. It's your backstop. They're not getting rid of passwords on the Microsoft accounts quite yet.
Right.
So it will be another long time before you don't even have to create a password to get into something, because that's still your I forgot my keys, you know, sort of backstop there. Is like, well, I guess I can do it the old fashioned way and use my authenticator app and my password if I can remember that. And that's where LastPass and 1Password, Dashlane and all those folks step in.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I need to check out yesterday's episode because I want to talk about it. I want to hear more about it, because this is fascinating to me. I think it all leads to bio stuff, where our devices and our stuff will just know who we are based on the fact that we're there in front of it, and it can recognize our whatever it is, our essence of being, our unique DNA patterns, how it scans and finds that stuff. I mean, this is it's a forecast episode, really, but
yeah.
I think we're heading there. Like, that's where all this ends up, and this feels like an important step in that regard, in terms of just the mind share of getting away from this idea that everything is about a password and a username, and maybe it's not anymore. Maybe it can be about something else, and I think that's really cool.
Well, and you know, I know some people are like, I don't want to have to carry a key around. There are some other implementations of this. You know, you could be able to put your key in a phone potentially someday, so that your phone is one factor with NFC, and then your face is the other factor.
Right.
You know,
just get the surgical implants, like, you know, like we've been talking about for such a long time.
Yeah. What's the hold up on that? Where are we at with that? Yeah, come on.
I'm ready for it. Yeah.
Let's make it happen. Well, this is great. As always, this and many topics like it will be discussed on The Daily Tech News Show at thedailytechnewsshow.com and wherever you get your podcasts and all that. So make sure you check out today's episode. Tom, anything else regarding that or anything else you want to mention on the show?
Yeah, I do want to remind people, because I know I talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks, that the Gallium audiobook is available in the Audible store as read by Veronica Belmont. So if you haven't already put it in your ears, this would be a good time to do it. Go check it out. It's great, great Thanksgiving weekend reading if you're in the U.S. and you need something to put headphones on and avoid the family. Check it out. It's a story about a space salvager who is persecuted by a mining company who doesn't want her to reveal the archaeological find that she found. So read by Veronica Belmont, available. If you just go to tomsnewbook.com, it'll take you right to the Amazon page where you can link to the audiobook.
Nice. Here's a line from her right here.
Tough titties.
Yeah, it's really
good. That's not in the book.
You're going to want to check that out and, you know, listen.
I sent you all those samples, Scott.
I probably should have some actual samples laying around. And
I really, the next time I get Veronica to read any of my novels, I should make sure I take all of your samples and have them go up.
Yeah, just the Easter eggs in the thing. If you listen past
I'll write a novel specifically to include robot arms and sausages.
Exactly. Yeah. Then Bill walked into the kitchen of the launch bay and said, sausage.
I'm telling you, that's the way you do it. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. Take it easy. We'll see you next time. All right. That was very fun. Good. Fun that as always. Fun. All right. Well, hey, let's keep it moving.
Okay.
Let's keep this train rolling. We got another person to bring in. You know her as the one and the only this person. Bobby Cole, my sweet Nicole. Figured I'd let her little intro do the talking for me. It's Nicole Spagnuolo, all the way from Colorado. Hello, Nicole, and welcome. Hi. Oh, you're quiet. Ooh. I'm going to turn you up on my side. I can do it.
Ooh, is that better?
That's even better. Could you yell for us, please?
Yell for us. No, you're fine. It's Nicole's bag, everybody. Hey, what's going on? How are you? What's going on? Thanksgiving. What are you doing tomorrow? All right. You got big plans? Yeah. You going to do something cool? Or what are you going to do?
My mom and my brother and his lovely family are in right now. We're just going to cook some turkey and... Yep. Right around, I guess.
I love that. Sounds great.
What do you do?
That sounds
watch
great.
Some there's football, play some board games.
Nothing you just said sounds bad to me. That sounds good. Well, having you here the day before is a treat. We're going to talk recommendals today, where we talk about recommended stuff we've been watching on streaming services. And we love this segment, and we're going to do one now. Brian, we start with you. Do you have any setup for the clip you've given me?
No setup at all. Nothing.
You get what you get.
Yeah, exactly. I think people, you know, I say this every week, but I think people will recognize this. They'll either know it immediately or they won't know it at all, in which case I'm happy to be the one to tell people about this. So.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait until next week when I once again say, Brian, do you have any setup for this clip?
I'll come up. You know what? I'll come up with some setup. Here's the setup. This may require a lot of quarters going into glass jars.
No, very nice.
Oh.
Here we go then. It's 50 seconds. Strap in.
I need that bed.
Why?
Because I need it.
Why?
Because if someone were to break in here in the middle of the night wanting to murder us, they would attack this bed first. So I need this bed.
So you're saying that you want me to get murdered first? In front of you? And then what would you do? Would you just run away and leave me to bleed out on the floor?
Sort of. That was the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can have the bed when I leave.
What kind of sociopath abandons her family in some vomit-soaked dump to gallivant around the world with her dumb shipping air loser boyfriend she's known for 3 months?
David, it will be 4 months next month.
Oh my God.
And he just told me that he could potentially see himself considering saying I love you at some point sometime soon, so...
This is Schitt's Creek, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's totally Schitt's Creek.
We love this show in this house. It's me and Kim's favorite, like, weird comedy we discovered by stumbling upon it, and it's amazing. It's so good.
It is so good. Yeah, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara. I mean, basically, it is Arrested Development, but the family started way higher than the Bluths, and they fell way lower than the Bluths.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. It's even got what's his name in it. Used to be on Letterman all the time.
Yes, Chris Elliott.
Chris Elliott's in it. Yeah, is the mayor.
Is so good at what he does. I have to worry that he's like that in real life. Like the characters that he plays are so skeevy. Whether it's Kingpin or there's something about Mary or the stuff he did on Letterman. He's actually the namesake of the show. He plays a guy named Roland Shit, who is the mayor of the town of Shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, it's S-C, spell it for me, I forget.
S-C-H-I-T-T,
yeah.
Apostrophe S.
Yeah.
This is on
and
Netflix.
They have that because it was supposed to be a joke, right?
Well,
right.
I assume.
It was a joke gift.
I assume it was. Right. Oh, yes, you mean in the show. Yeah.
Eugene Levy bought the town as a joke for his son. And when they lose everything, when they're like the Kardashians but they lose everything, all of a sudden they've got to move to this town just so they can get by without having to spend the money that they don't have.
By the way, his son is his actual son, which is kind of cool. Seeing a little.
Oh, that's Daniel. That is Daniel Levy. Wow.
Yeah, okay. Daniel Levy is actually his kid and they're working together and he's brilliantly played.
He's really, really, really good. That's who you heard in that clip right there.
Yep.
It's on Netflix. It was actually originally on CBC television. So thank you, Canada, for this. But they have put the seasons on Netflix as well. It's been renewed for a fifth season, which is going to start up in 2019. And it's really, really funny.
It's really good. It made us laugh hard every episode. They're very lovable, even though they're kind of hateable at the same time.
Yeah. It is one of those shows where there are very few, if any, characters to like. I mean, I think the hotel clerk is probably my favorite character. I'm still early on, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little side recommendal too, because it kind of fits the theme of a TV show where there are few, if any, likable characters. We just started watching, well, just started airing in the US, Sally Forever, which is on HBO. Mm-hmm. And this is a 30-minute sitcom, or we wouldn't call it a sitcom, 30-minute, it is a comedy about a woman who is about to get married, but realizes that she doesn't love her husband and also realizes, well, she might actually be gay. And there are very few likable characters in this thing. It's like that awkwardness of the British office. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. However, I'm going to give you a little warning. Don't watch this with the kids. or even with the parents. You may want to wait until the parents leave, Nicole, before you start watching this. Mm. Yeah. There's, the first episode features some lesbian getting it on scenes, including some bizarre stuff like boobs slapping against each other and a toe mysteriously going into a butt for some reason.
Oh, geez. Great.
You don't actually see, you see the toe going between the cheeks, but not.
So literally Saturday night at Ibbot's house is what you're saying.
It's literally Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Great.
Have you had those awkward moments with your parents?
With toes going in the butt?
No.
No, when you're watching. So there was a show. It wasn't the L word. What was the other?
Queer as Folk?
There was another. Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Not Queer as Folk?
Yes. No, it was Queer as Folk. We were just flipping the channel, sitting there with Mark's parents. And we went through, I think it was it Showtime or HBO? But it was like a full-on sex scene. I'm like, oh, my God, go, yeah. Channel.
Mm. Well, like, we knew Scott's had that awkward moment with his dad in the hotel towel going.
It was a bad time, man. Yeah, they're hardcore about
that. I don't want to watch that stuff with my in-laws.
No.
No, it's funny. I've been thinking about it. I don't think that I've been pretty fortunate that I haven't had that situation. The people that it would happen with, actually, I take that back, but I've been on the other side of it where, Tina and I would start watching a movie, maybe for film sack or maybe just because it's something we wanted to see. And invariably, Tristan and his friends would always come home right when a sex scene was starting up.
Yep.
And I swear to God, they must think that all we ever watched was porn when Tristan was living here, because it was like, maybe there was, in this entire 2-hour movie, 30 seconds of nudity, that would be the 30 seconds that the kids would come over.
Yeah. I mean, even in the Buster Scruggs thing the other night, again, I'm not going to give anything away, but Brian, the Liam Neeson section of the thing, there's a point and it's handled completely innocuously. There's nothing, it's no big deal, but I didn't know that. I've seen Fargo. I know where they can go with the hooker ladies. I knew what could happen. So even then, with my kids who are old enough now that it's fine, they're all sitting there, and I'm going, making sounds, and the kids are like, Dad. And I'm like, hold on. Well, I'm just saying, this could get real uncomfortable, and it never did.
Excited about Thanksgiving? Yeah. Looking forward to that turkey.
Happens every time. Anyway,
so
that's
great. Don't watch Sally. You can watch Schitt's Creek with the kids and the family, but don't watch Sally Forever with the family. But I do recommend you check it out if you like that office style, the UK office style awkwardness.
No, I was going to ask. It is British then. You'd mentioned that it was like The Office and stuff. Yeah, I don't know if it was imported.
Apparently all the seasons, or not all the seasons, but I mean the full seasons have aired on Sky TV. I don't know how many seasons there are.
Yeah.
But HBO is just now getting it. They're only up to episode 2, so
okay.
You can catch up in an hour, basically.
Sweet. Toe up the butt. I look forward to it. Here is a thing. My clip. Here it is. So this is going to also be British and imported. Look at this. We got Canada, 2 British imports. Who knows what Nicole has, but just started watching this. I'm 3 episodes in, and I really like it. It's on Netflix. Here you go.
David, I'm signing you to the Home Secretary.
Very good, Mum.
To move up.
Mum, this is P.S. Bud.
Pleasure to meet you, Mum.
I'm late for a meeting. She's got an agenda. To heighten fear and to seize power.
That doesn't require apologising for the past.
Did you mean what you said?
I don't need you to vote for me.
Are we facing a state of emergency?
I need to protect me.
Rest assured, Mum.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Well,
I can't tell what it is because it keeps cutting out. I don't know what's going
on. Well, it's very... Oh, you've been cutting out. Sorry. The deal there is... So you remember Robb Stark from the Game of Thrones, right?
Mm-hmm.
He may have had a rough time at a wedding. Anyway.
May have.
He's... that's him. That's that actor. I forgot his name. I had it written down earlier and now I've lost it. Anyway. It's Robb Stark, and he's playing a father of 2 kids and a husband to this lady who's a little bit estranged with, but he's also like ex-Afghanistan tours of duty for the British government and now works in all kinds of special like stuff for the government in terms of security. The whole thing starts with him being on a train that's about to get blown up by a terrorist. He ends up foiling it all and saving his kids in the process and getting noticed by higher ups in government as being somebody you might want to have on your detail for protection. So he ends up working for the secretary or the home secretary, which over there is like our defense minister sort of thing, or what's the word over here? Anyway, somebody who's concerned about domestic or no, homeland security. What it's like over there. So that's who that is. She's this lady. She's super tough as nails, mean, cranky lady. And his job is to be her bodyguard. The show is called Bodyguard, not The Bodyguard, like My Heart Will Go On. A movie I actually like, by the way. I think that movie's all right and gets short shrift.
Because it's got your man crush, Kevin Costner.
I like Kevin Costner.
Let's just get that out of the way.
I like him. He's cool. Anyway, this came out of nowhere as far as I was concerned, but apparently this was a huge hit in Britain. And quickly made its way. I hear a thing. No, I don't.
Yeah, it wasn't.
that isn't.
So I'm confused. There's a bodyguard. I'm trying to find it on. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's Netflix.
It sounds like you're finding it.
yeah, we can hear you finding it there. But yeah, it's on Netflix.
Well,
it's called Body.
I don't see Robb Stark. I see.
You're probably thinking of one of the other Starks. If you look at the dude on the front
unless,
of that.
Unless Robb Stark is Asian, I don't think this is the right movie.
No, probably not. Hold on. Bodyguard. Hold on. Guard. Netflix. Okay, so here he is. Yeah, I'm surprised.
You gotta scroll up to the toe up the butt scene. Oh, yeah, no, there's a couple of...
If you just do a Google search for it, you'll get better results, probably. I don't know what Netflix is telling you, but if you search
for... Well, if it's on Netflix, why am I not using Netflix's search?
I don't know. If you search Bodyguard, it's the first thing that comes up for me.
You're seeing The Bodyguard is the one you're seeing with the Asian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't put The.
Just plain Bodyguard.
Yeah, that was the whole point of that it's different than the movie. Yeah.
How stupid is that, that if you put The in that title, Bodyguard doesn't show up?
I mean, it's a little dumb. I admit, I think Netflix's search is not always the best, but that's the guy. So now you see him. That's Ned Stark. Or sorry, Jimmy Stark. What's his name?
Robb Stark. There it is. I can't believe how many movies there are that have Bodyguard in the title.
I know, and they don't even have My Bodyguard with Matt Dillon and
Oh, right.
Adam Baldwin.
Yeah.
From the 80s.
When that kid, it was the first movie I ever saw with somebody who flipped someone off on film. That was my, that's my biggest memory of My Bodyguard. But yeah, there's The Hitman's Bodyguard. Like, there's a lot of other movies, but this show.
Hitler's Bodyguard.
This show's been renewed for more, but it's only 8 episodes. It's a small British thing. It is easily some of the best espionage, action, kind of Bourne Identity kind of thing that I've seen on TV in a very long time. It's really, really well done, intense, smart, nuanced. Like, he's suffering from a little bit of, this doesn't give too much, anything away really, because it's kind of core to the character, but he suffers from some PTSD from his time in the war, and yet he's kind of keeping it under control, and he's very professional at his job, and people really trust him. There's a twist I at first did not like that happened in season or episode 2 or 3 that kind of annoyed me and rubbed me the wrong way. When you watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But now I kind of see where they're going, and I really like it. It's kind of a puzzle in a weird way. I think it's fantastic. I don't even know what else to say about it, except that it's just, I highly recommend it so far. Again, I'm only 3 in of the 8. But I liked it enough that I'm gonna keep going, and he should be in all sorts of stuff. He's great in this. Like, you forget, you know, you think about all his other Game of Thrones stars, and you're like, oh yeah, all the other Stark kids and the what's her name, Macy, they're all going on to new things and everything. And you forget about how great he was at Robb Stark, because Robb Stark character was doomed from the beginning. So it just sucked, right? But he's great in this. So do check it out. What's his name? Richard Madden. There you go. Richard Madden, a handsome young buck about town.
We'll always know him as Robb Stark.
Yeah. There's something there. I don't know what it is, but something there. And I usually don't, you know, usually like a British detective-y kind of shows don't always really do it for me for some reason. I don't know why. They just don't get me the way they get other people. This is totally, totally got me right where it needs to get me. And it got more coming. So something you can settle into and get excited about and binge that thing, because it's pretty good. All right. Nicole Spag. Who are you shushing?
The guy behind me.
Oh, is that Mark? That was hot. I'm all turned on now. I saw him thrusting, and that's the wood whisperer thrusting his wood. Anyway, hey, that was
gyrating like a Scottish person in pre-kitchen queen porn.
There you go. That's the one. All right, Nicole, what'd you bring for us?
Here's your clip, because I'm not going to play it because my audio always sounds like crap.
Okay.
So here you go, Scott.
All right. I see it. I'm clicking it.
I'm not looking.
I'm hitting play.
Bonjour.
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 There goes the baker with his tray, like warm waves. The same old bread and rolls to serve. Every morning just the same, since the morning that we came.
So I assume this has to be the...
The live action.
The live action thing.
Yes, Beauty this is the live action.
I still haven't seen this. I need to see this.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Yay.
I threw it on. I was like, oh, I don't really want to watch something Christmassy. I just want something fun, light. And so I saw this was on, and so I threw it on, and I love it. And I think maybe I've already recommended it. Who knows? But my memory's crap.
I don't remember your recommendation.
So let me ask you this. What I want out of this, and I heard it was good, so maybe they did it. But like the Jungle Book, what I want out of this is like a true. I want it to be live action. I like the idea of it being live action, and but I want it to be really true to the animated movie. And the music sounds like it is.
Oh my God! There's so much hate in the chat room. Chill
there
out.
It really
people.
Is it's surprising.
People don't like it. How come they don't like it?
Oh my God!
Why do you guys?
I hate this.
Why do they hate it so
bad?
Oh
my God!
I want to know why they hate it.
I thought it was sweet. I like the music. What I love most about it is when I watched it, I have Mark sitting next to me singing word for word every single song, and I'm like, what in the world is going on there?
I'm with him. Like there's something about those '90s. Late 80s, early 90s, Disney musical, you know, when they started getting the Tim Rice and all those guys involved, it's really iconic stuff. Like, it really sticks with you and stays with you and creates a feeling that you remember. And those were great times for me. I loved that era of my life. Mm-hmm. And so hearing that got me excited and wanted to see it. But everyone in the chat's just like hating it, man.
A lot of anger, just like in the chat. How do they do the, you know, the chip and Mrs. Potts and...
Oh yeah, how do they handle all that?
It's all CG, of course.
Okay.
But
I don't know if there are people in costumes like giant candelabra.
No. They're but every actor is kind of imposed into like the CG, like the candelabra and the teapot. And the teapot is not Emma Watson, that's Belle. What's the other lady?
Well, it's not the old lady.
Lansbury.
Yeah, it can't be Lansbury.
It's not Lansbury. Okay. It's Mrs. McFeely.
Mrs. McFeely.
did we ever postman's wife on Mr. Rogers?
No, Nanny McFeely.
Right. She's in
Thompson. Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson. Yeah.
Emma Thompson.
I would watch a I would watch a movie about Mr. McFeely's wife. Why not? God.
So she plays as Mrs. Potts.
Oh, cool.
And there are moments where I'm like, yeah, she's not so good of a singer, but I think it's a sweet movie. It's neat to see the live action. Also, I was going to say Kevin Kline, but
Kevin Kline is in this. So
is it okay? It is Kevin Kline, right?
Yeah. Who does he play?
That's his name, right?
Who's he play in there?
He's the father of Belle.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say Mr. Maurice. Fishoder. That'd have been good.
Bob.
Bob. So good in that.
But yeah, I like the movie. I've watched it a couple times. I love the songs. I mean, I probably wasn't really into the animated Beauty and the Beast. Like some of the people in the chat were.
Yeah, they're not really.
You've destroyed my childhood.
I'm not invested in Beauty and Beast as much as other people. Yeah.
Emma, what's her name? Sorry.
Emma Watson?
Yeah, I like her. I think
Emma Thomas.
I find anybody who can go from like a 5-year-old kid in movie stardom to figure it all out and kind of be, you know.
Well adjusted.
Well, yeah, she seems really smart and awesome, and I like her a lot. Yeah.
I like
her. Followed the Natalie Portman path, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's the she definitely gives me that vibe, and that's great. I'm not saying that everybody's doomed to have a terrible life after a child stardom. I think all the Harry Potter kids have done okay in that regard. Mm-hmm. But you hear these terrible stories about people, you know, they just have these awful experiences and she just seems smart and independent and doesn't need anyone else around her to keep it going. She's just going. That's good.
You got Gandalf in this, Ian McKellen. You got Ewan McGregor. You got,
Ian McKellen.
Ewan McGregor is the candelabra, I believe.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
Lumiere. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who plays, who's the David Ogden Steers character, the clock? Who plays the clock?
Ian McKellen. That's Ian McKellen.
Okay, interesting. Because that was David Ogden Steers back in the day.
It was.
Yeah.
Charles Emerson Winchester.
Yep. Well, that's fantastic. You know who played the candle was back in the day? It was Jerry Orbach. Was the French candle.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking that was David Ogden Steers, but I thought all those characters in Disney films were not David Ogden Steers. Who was
Ralph Bakshi?
Frasier's brother.
I feel like we're having a Lion King moment.
David Hyde Pierce is who you're thinking of.
David Hyde Pierce is who I'm thinking of. Yeah. So I thought everybody was. I thought that was David Hyde Pierce as well.
Oh, that's funny. No, he's Jerry Orbach. It was obviously before he died, but he does an incredible singing voice and a French accent. Who knew? Who knew that guy? Boom, boom, there. This is long before a Law and Order. Anyway.
But I think this is a good, like, your whole family is around. You don't really want to watch Christmas movies, but you want something light, fun. This is a nice little movie.
All right. I'm in. I'm going to watch it because screw these haters. I'm watching it. Yeah. I don't mind this live action treatment of this. I'm looking forward to that Mulan movie they're working on now. It's fine with me. Got no problem with
it. Somebody said there's going to be an Aladdin.
That's fine with that, too. Totally fine with it. I mean, that's tricky because Robin Williams has made that movie iconic in a way that's hard to follow. But that's the only reason I would have a problem with that. Not even a problem, but, you know, it's a bigger challenge.
Siding in the chat room is it totally right. Why fight about politics when you can fight about Disney live action remakes?
Yeah. Sidian's
I'm
right.
Still waiting for the live action remake of Song of the South.
Yeah.
That's going to be.
That'll be awesome. I can't wait for that one. Jeez, yeah. Let's hope that's never in the works. It might be works in the works in certain parts of the internet.
Hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is great. Check all this stuff out, and also check out Nicole's Twitter account at Nicole Spag, because she will link to all three of our recommendations, including Brian's extra one that he made, his side one.
I will.
And I saw a bunch of stuff that I felt like side recommending, but I think I'm going to hold them for actual recommendals, because there's some nifty poop showing up on streaming right now. And mm-hmm. one of them in particular, I'll wait for next week or whenever we talk again. Yeah, it'll be next week, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a crazy documentary, boy, oh boy, do I got a good one for you. So there's your teaser. Nicole Spag, everybody, have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Have fun with your friends, family, and stuff.
See ya.
Chicken and food. Chicken? Turkey, sorry. Not chicken. No one has chicken for Thanksgiving.
No one has chicken. Or ham.
Yeah. Do you ever actually... Have you ever had a ham for Thanksgiving?
Not for Thanksgiving, no. We've had almost always turkey, but the time we strayed away from turkey, we did individual Cornish game hens.
Oh.
Which was an interesting alternative.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Maybe ham's pheasant? Easter, man.
Yeah, ham is kind of Easter-y, isn't it? I don't know why it shows up at some of our stuff, but it does. All right, we're going to play a mashup. This is called Sneaky Nuts.
Great. Okay.
2013. I don't remember what this would have been. Probably someone out there is hearing that and going, oh, yeah, that one. I don't know. But Jamie put it together. TMS Mashups on Twitter. You guys should follow him and hang out with him because he's great. Here it is.
Once again, pull up a chair as Scott and Brian share a story by the fire. What will they talk about today?
We went and got our complimentary neighborhood because we live in this community area where we can get a free gym membership at this community center place. And we've been putting it off because we just hadn't had time. Well, we finally had time. Saturday, we went over there. And I walked to the weight area, Brian. And this is a place where, you know, dudes go in there with their guns and they pump iron.
Yeah.
So I go in there and one of those guys, he's sitting on a bench. They have benches in there near the, like, hand weights, right? Where you want to grab a hand weight and lift it while you're on that bench. Kind of sit there going, yeah, check me out, ladies, kind of thing.
Yep.
And I go in there and guy's got his back to me the way I'm entering the place, so I'm not thinking much about it. I'm just checking stuff out. I like some hand weights, so I walk around, I check what weights they have and what are the facilities like. Oh, this is cool hardware. Okay, great. And I turn back around. Now I'm facing this guy and he's looking at his arm and he's lifting like a 50 pound weight, just going like this and just staring at it. And the other hand's on his hip and he's spread eagle on the chair so that his knees are way far apart and he's just kind of sitting there doing, you know, And I look at him, and he's wearing real tiny little silky little shorty shorts.
Okay.
Like little bitty ones. I don't even know where you buy those now. And that caught my eye first. But then what caught my eye is just to the left of the shorts was one of his testicles flopping out.
Oh, sneaky nuts.
Sneaky nuts.
Yes.
And it was out for all to view, and he was completely oblivious to that fact. He was so focused on his arm.
Feeling any sort of breeze, any draft?
I don't know. I would think you would, because that thing was out. And I don't mean like just poking out or threatening to come out. This thing was out. This guy's got on some kind of jockey thing, but his doodle, well, his neighbor to the doodle, is just sticking out like a tumor out the side of his shorts the whole time. Oh. So I'm, of course, averting my eyes quickly and going, oh, geez.
Right.
I went and did 30 minutes on the treadmill. I went back in there. I figured he'd be gone or onto something else or would figured out his error and corrected it or something. Right. Instead, I walk in there and he's on those laying on your back, feet on the two pads, and then you have big giant weights on the ends of it and you push it up. And so his legs getting pushed way up to his, you know, top of his thighs are like hitting his chest and then he's pushing out again and coming all the way back. And as it would come back to the chest, like a grape in a, I don't even know what to compare this to, but his little ball just whoop, sticking out again. He couldn't keep it in.
Oh, my God.
So
in that configuration, it should be like, you know, bouncing against his chin or something, like, you know, in the throat. So when you, you know, went out as you were leaving, the personal friend counter, so did you enjoy your visit, your first time here? What do you think? He said, oh, yeah, we had a ball.
Had a real ball. I should make all the ball references.
Some of your clients are nuts, but
we
had a ball.
Some of your, there's a little bit, they're a little nuts.
Hope none of you employees get the sack. We're going to go get the sack.
That's a good one.
That's a great
old story. Never saw that guy again after that, but Sneaky Nuts 2013.
Good old Sneaky Nuts.
Feels like yesterday.
So good.
All right, well, we've done it, Brian. We've done it.
We really have.
I think we've done a fine job and we've committed to do what we did, and we did it. There's no show tomorrow. That's just a little bit of PSA for you because it's Thanksgiving and by gum.
Well, no TMS.
Yeah, yeah, no TMS. However, there will be an episode of Skim. That's right, the Scott and Kim Johnson Show. Will happen tomorrow at 5 p.m., the normal time. We're going to go from 5 to 6, and it's on Thanksgiving. And some of you may be home to watch it, some of you may not, but we'll do it live. This was Kim's idea. I was like, honey, we probably, you know, it's a big holiday. You're going to be busy with things and stuff. We should probably take it off. She's like, nope, I'm totally doing it. And I said, okay, we're doing it. Even though she's sick now, she still wants to do it. So we're doing it. My wife and I are doing it live at 5 p.m.
on the stream. Woo!
Tomorrow. So that's, you want details, you want to subscribe, you want to find out all this other stuff, you can go on over to frogpants.com/SKIM. That's /skim. And it's all right there for you. If you want to send us emails, you can do it there, all that sort of thing. And we're reading your emails this week. So lots of fun stuff planned. Come check it out. Kim and I, Skim. That's Thursday. No TMS, though. Okay? There just isn't one. Live with it.
No.
Yeah. And then, what else? I don't know what else is going on this weekend other than the stuff you've announced that's happening during Coverthon.
That's right. There will be a TMS PM on Friday, just later than people expect.
Later than usual. And then what else? The instance probably isn't happening given the holiday. But
right,
we may.
Sure. Well, plus we'll be doing FilmSec right about the same time.
So. Oh, right. That's the other reason I can't. Yeah, I got to figure all that out. But a new FilmSec, all that stuff. So plenty of content coming your way right down the chute. But one final piece of content before we leave, and that is a cover of some sort from Brian Ibbett. What do you got for me?
That's right. This one's going out to Talia James, to Liz Orell in the chat room. Don't know if she's in there today, but I believe so. Hey, Cover Meister, my birthday is coming up on the 23rd, and it's a big one, 30. Could you please play a cover from a game that's really close to my heart, Undertale? A new game is in the series has started releasing, so it seems appropriate. I love the songs that Rashad EB makes, covering some of the songs from the games. So it'd be great to hear either Catharsis, which is a cover of Hopes and Dreams, or Nihilist, which is a cover of Megalovania for the Big Trio. If it helps, love the show, though. Talia to Liz Orell.
Nice.
So
I had one of her teas this morning, by the way. Had a tea. Isn't that the same person?
Not the same person.
I thought that was Talia. No?
No. I want to say Gwen was the...
Oh, Gwen. Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn's at the tea shop.
You're right. I mix those two up all the time. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. But hey, to Liz Orell, if you make some tea, we'll totally have some of that.
Yeah.
I'm almost out of the... I need to order a new box because I'm almost out of a couple of these that I love.
Yeah, they're really good.
The pumpkin masala chai is my favorite. Anyway.
It's really good.
Oh, Talia says she hates tea. So there you go.
Well then, you are definitely not her. All right, fair enough.
Anyway, now what's funny is I've actually played Catharsis on the show before. I was off to go buy it from Bandcamp and realized, oh, I already own it. So we're going to do the second request, which is Nihilist, which is a cover of Megalovania. In any case, happy 30th birthday. Here is Rashad EB and Ace Waters from their cover album Determination from 2015 and their cover of Nihilist.
Here it is. We'll see you guys on Friday. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Think about it.